Listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, George.
Bottom of the hour, Glenn Gilbo will join us. Get that news service that covers the Yellow Sioux Tigers. His column reads like this. Hope springs eternal in other places, but doesn't seem that way at LSU. That's probably not a good headline to let you know how that spring game went up in Tiger Stadium on Saturday. So we'll talk to him a little bit about that, get his take on the LSU baseball team. They got swept as well up in South Carolina. 8-6, the loss yesterday, in which they had a 6-run lead. 11-0, 11-4, Friday, Saturday, were the losses there. So we'll touch a little bit more on college baseball as well. Right before the top of the hour, see how Tulane, UNO, Southeastern, Nichols all did over the weekend. And next hour, we'll focus a little bit more as well as the draft is coming on Thursday. Saints with the 27th pick, as we said, Willie Snead, not matched by the team, so he is a Baltimore Raven. Saying goodbye today on social media. We just read that. And don't forget, we'll be at Dave and Buster's on Thursday, 6 p.m., 1200 Poydras Street is when that will take place. We'll have some fun. Stop on by. It'll be special seating as well for the folks that are there to watch the draft. We'll, I think it'll be an eventful evening, to be honest with you, honestly. And don't forget, Zurich Classics this week, Thursday, Friday, we'll be doing the Sports Hangover from the Champions Club on Thursday and the Acme Tent on Friday. So if you're out there in the tournament, be sure to stop by. Say hi to us when we're there from 12 to 3. And again, as we mentioned right before the top of the hour, Vinny's Caddy Shack on Wednesday will be there from 12 to 3. 12 to 3, Vinny's Caddy Shack, 3217 Ridgelake Drive over in Metairie. All right, so that puts a wrap on hour one. And we get into hour two here. Dino Hansen joining us here in studio, complete in his Oregon Duck gear, the neon green hat and the normal green. There they are. There are the sneakers as well. I get going. Dino, we had Sean Kelly on bottom of last hour, and we talked for a little bit. I want to kind of get into not only your thoughts and feelings as to what you saw in games three and four, matchups for the possible, what we all expect will be Golden State once they beat San Antonio tomorrow. But just your overall feeling, man, from people that walk up and talk to you, from people on Twitter. I'm loving Pel's fever kind of catching fire right now in New Orleans, don't you?
Wait, so you mean to tell me the New Orleans Pelicans with the MVP of the playoffs, Anthony Davis, are actually getting national attention? Wait, my fault.
Yeah.
No, it can't be Anthony Davis because it's LeBron James who's playing the best basketball.
Or it's where he's going.
In the playoffs.
It's where he's going to.
Bro, you know, I mind you, you know, I am by far one of the most honest people. And I'm not saying this because I'm a homer. But it literally, and this is not anything towards LeBron or all those who love LeBron and his kingdom and everything else from A to Z. But I say this to say, you want to talk about a player putting his stamp on the games.
Yep.
You want to talk about a player that impacts and imposes teams on both sides of the court, and you still do not mention Anthony Davis's name. I get it. LeBron averages 8 assists to AD's 2 assists. By the way, AD doesn't handle the basketball nowhere as close to the way LeBron handles the basketball for his basketball team, because here we have a phenomenal point guard who is a leader, who has one of the highest IQs in basketball in Rajon Rondo, who is directing traffic, who watches video and has gotten the guys. How many times have you heard AD say, "We listen to Rajon. We listen to Doe"? For those that don't understand, when Drew and AD are saying Doe, they're talking about Rondo. Listen, I am not going to tear away from LeBron being a phenomenal basketball player. But if you don't mention AD as being the MVP of the playoffs to this point, by the way, sweeping the third seeded team.
Right.
Doing damage on both ends of the floor. Bruh, it really is amazing how the national media wants to continue to make LeBron James to be the one that created basketball with Dr. James Naismith, and it ends with LeBron James. Because, again, and I'm not saying this because of my personal relationship with AD and the family or me being a New Orleans native and covering the Pelicans, but what AD's imprint is on the game has been unquestionably the best you've seen a player play, and especially going back to the All-Star break.
Right.
Look at the dominance in which AD impacts the basketball game.
Post-Boogie's injury has been amazing. It's, I mean, what he's done. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, the fact that they made it to the postseason, he had a very large thing to do. He went through that stretch that was just unreal, right?
40
points, exactly.
Whatever we need, blocks,
rebounds.
The fact
he had a 47-point effort in a closeout game, you know, I mentioned this to Sean Kelly, he had 33 second-half points, 12 points in the final 5 minutes. You and I have talked for years since we've covered basketball. What are the things that you give beef to LeBron, or not even just him, anybody in the league that thinks they're good? You know, Paul George is doing his Gatorade commercial. You're like,
right.
Okay, you know, call himself, you know, playoff, whatever it is, instead of PG-13 now, he's giving himself a new playoff name. But
and AD hasn't given himself a name.
The thing is, it's not shying away from the moment. You talked about the imprint of the game and being there. The guys, you know, this is what he's wanted. He's wanted to be in the postseason. And in a closeout game, when the other team tried to make it chippy.
Oh,
I mean, you saw that was a game plan.
Extremely chippy. And you knew it was going
to
be
there. To have the maturity, though, at halftime to come out and not worry about it, and then you go out and you do that kind of third quarter they did, to me, was pretty impressive. So, second quarter, you go into halftime with a small lead, but you have the lead at halftime. Mm-hmm. It's chippy. Mm-hmm. That guy could have got there. And I credited the refs. They control the game, knew it was emotional, and went out there to try to make themselves, you know, the story. Because it could have probably flagrant
two to a couple of people. It definitely could have escalated.
They controlled it. To come out and have a 42-31 third quarter, I mean, that spoke volumes to me about where this maturity on this basketball team is.
And let me tell you, the main guy who was the catalyst, which is funny when you think about it, of making sure the team didn't lose his composure, was a guy who would gladly lose his composure in Rajon Rondo.
Did you hear the bite I played earlier?
Okay, he was the main one that got the guys to understand, and it became laughable to Rajon in the sense of it was like, guys, we're prepared for this.
Yeah.
We're expecting this. So nothing that they're doing on that side can disrupt what we're doing. That's called frustration. That's because they know we have them.
McCollum and a lot of those Portland, they've been in the postseason. The Pels haven't. And the Pels look like the team this series.
Composure.
That have totally been in the postseason.
Well, I feel like the message was to me directly. They were trying to tell me to make sure I kept my composure and to get thrown out. But, you know, I live for those moments. I was trying to stay smart, and as far as not get thrown out from my teammates, I don't want to let them down again. And you know, everyone was telling me to be cool. And Drew shows a little rage, a little bit. And like I said, it was nothing to it. And it's part of the game. We seen in the Miami Philly game get chippy a little bit earlier as we were watching before the game. So we knew what type of game it was, especially when Dame came out with the comments he made as far as alterations.
Altercations.
He's worried about the suits and alterations.
I call this such a Dino series because so many things that you and I have talked about wanting to see from a basketball club, you're seeing it. I love the confidence. You talked about a swagger. You talked about you go own the court. So what if you're on the road? Don't be scared of it. Own it. Mm-hmm. Drew Holiday, right? When he's talking to the fan. You know, AD, like you touched on, go get a rebound. You can win the game by going and get the rebound. In game one, he goes and gets the rebounds and knocks down the two free throws to silence people. And he said, man, I love this moment. There's so many things that we see that are happening that you and I have wanted and wished for years.
It's fun,
but, Dino, you're seeing an awakening. Brian Windhorst, I mentioned this in hour number one, talked this morning on Golic and Wingo and said he called it the Matrix moment. LeBron's had his, a couple other guys do, where it's like you're Neo from the Matrix, where you can bend the game to your will and your wanting. And you're seeing that. AD's realizing he's not only the best player on his team, he's the best player on the court.
Mm-hmm.
They can take over the game in one way, shape, or form. When he knocks down the three, yesterday. I told people in hour one I couldn't wait to see you to talk to you about this. My favorite moment of game four, there were a lot that you can pick up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But it's understanding the moment. That dude just grabbed the three at the top of the key with the game close and buried it, and then immediately looked to the bench. And as he's backpedaling to the other side of the court, is yelling to Alvin Gentry and pointing to make the substitution to bring Rondo in because they had three straight turnovers before that. And I'm laughing. I'm like, that's what Dino's been saying. He's like, give me the darn ball. He got it. He shot the three early in the shot clock and everything. He's like, let me take three. Once he knocked it down, he immediately went into, now can you get the other guy in here so we can play some defense and win the game? That showed so much, though, Dino.
His maturation right. process. And, you know, when you have a guy who is, and this goes to show you the mutual respect that is there. You hear Rajon constantly say, the superstar of our basketball team is Anthony Davis. Mm-hmm. And you hear Anthony Davis go, we listen to Doe. Whatever Doe tell us to do, that's what we're going to do because he's been here before. We talked about this when Dell brought in Rajon, and I said, he's changing the culture in the locker room. You're putting guys who have won before. Remember all the flack that Rajon got before? Oh, he's a bad seed in the locker room. No. Rajon is a guy who holds you accountable, but he holds himself accountable. He holds the coach accountable. This is what this team has been lacking, a level of accountability, and you're seeing how much fun. You hear AD talk about this. Man, we're just playing good, fundamentally sound basketball. Yeah. And that's the thing that this team is doing. It's fun. It's infectious. And it's not just fun because you're winning. Remember we talked about this last week, Gus. Forget the analytics, because analytics have always been a part of the game. It's just that we're always looking for new ways to put it on steroids and make it seem like it's much more important than anything else. Look at the bounce in guys' steps. Even when the Pels are down, they still have this bounce in their step like, dude, we're about to turn this thing on right now. Yeah. This switch that we've never had, now we have, and that switch is an attitude. That switch is an air of, we have your number on everything you do. Dame, please keep talking to us.
Yeah.
Please continue to disrespect us. We want you to.
They're using anything and everything to kind of motivate them. Exactly. And more importantly, though, but again, that comes from what we've talked about in the past. Like, you know, bring it on. Where's that confidence level?
Where's that attitude?
Go out there and do it. Dino, the level of defense, too. I've talked about this with Sean Kelly last segment.
And you know, that's my moniker. I've always said this.
But there was a highlight we played from game three in the blowout win. While they're blowing him out, AD gets on the floor, gets a loose ball, hustles it up, gives it to somebody. I think it's to Rondo, who then finds Darius Miller for the three.
For the three.
But that's the point. That one play, you had the franchise player do the same thing that you saw Miller and Clark and some of the other guys. So everyone's hustling. Mm-hmm. Everyone's doing it. On the court, it's just one, and you can probably speak to it better anyone when you're playing on there and you're facing a team where everyone's doing that. Mm-hmm. It's easier, I guess what I'm trying to say, to take out a guy or two. Portland.
No.
You took out a guy or two, and you took care of it. Right now, the Pels are fine. We'll take AD. I mean, the first three games, you had three guys score 30 points, all of them different.
Mm-hmm.
Holiday, AD, and Mirotić.
You don't know where it's coming from now. Right. Not only do you have to deal with a superstar caliber player in Anthony Davis, but now you've got to deal with Angry Drew. You've got to deal with 3 Cola, who's also shown that he's a defender, who's also shown that he can rebound the basketball.
I mean, how amazing he's been.
Okay. So you don't know who to game plan for anymore. Not only do you have to deal with AD, but now you have to deal with all these other pieces who are enjoying their roles on this team. They're enjoying their lane. They're playing off of AD now. They are doing smart basketball things that we have been wanting to see on this court. Here's another aspect you have to mention too as well. When Ian Clark comes in, the impact that he's had on the game, our bench has also been significant here in the playoffs, in addition to it's going to be a huge factor come the Golden State series. Because, you know, when you look at Drew Holiday and Klay Thompson, and I don't want to speak in advance, but we all pretty much know Golden State's going to be there. Klay Thompson and Drew Holiday are by far two of the better defending shooting guards in the league. They got length. They get into your space. The thing that made Dame Lillard and CJ McCollum have so many problems, and remember, I've been telling you this for the longest time, Gus, being a former shooting guard, the one thing I hate is what? For somebody to keep their hands on me.
Right.
And frustrate me. To block my path every time I run anywhere.
I couldn't dribble to one end of the court without that happening.
It is the most frustrating thing. And you could see the frustration on him.
Yeah.
Like, I'm Dame Lillard. It's Dame time. Okay. Well, I got something for you, Dame. All right. The Rip City, rest in peace. Because that's exactly what it is, brother. And I say that to say this, Gus. If you are a jump shooter, and you hear Barkley talk about it all the time. If you live by the J in the long-range three ball, you will die by the J in the long-range three ball if you have nothing else. And Portland had nothing else other than C.J. McCollum and Dame Lillard, and you have to give the Pel's coaching staff and the players on the court all the credit in the world because the game plan that they did to take those two guys out of the game and frustrate them for the whole game, for four games in a row, it's not easy to do.
Look, it is what it is. You got people excited right now. And now you're, I mean, I never would have dreamt in my wildest dreams people come up to me this weekend. I'm at Sam's.
Yeah.
I was wearing my ESPN hat. Yeah. So the guy goes, bring on the Warriors. who would have ever thought, first off, you want the Warriors?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, there's people in this city that wanted this matchup.
Yeah. You want to bring down the best.
No, but isn't that great? I mean,
absolutely.
Games 3 and 4 at the Smoothie King Center literally will have people that believe their team can beat the number one team in the West. Well, has been the number one team in the West.
It was fun.
Houston, the top seed this year. When Dino comes back, we'll take a look at the matchups. We'll look at the four games that happen as to why can this be a series. Sean Kelly thinks this can be a series as well.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look at some of the matchups and how the guys are playing now. I've never thought I'd ask this. How does Golden State match up with
defend
some of the things? Remember, Draymond Green a couple weeks ago, he said, man, it's got to play this bite. It's 50 seconds long, Dino. This was Draymond Green, Gus Cattingell, Dino Hanson with you. Mm-hmm. And remember, this is March 8th, 9th. Pels had just won 10 straight. And he surprised a lot of people. He was asked about how good Houston was. And does Houston pose the biggest problem to them and stuff? And then he just went on to this breakdown of the Pels, which kind of surprised a lot of people as to he kind of knows that, you know, he's following other teams and stuff. Listen.
Houston has had a good one, but I'm most impressed with New Orleans. You know, with some of the games they won, with some of the numbers that AD has put up has been incredible. And then doing that without DeMarcus, you know, I think there was kind of consensus around the world that once DeMarcus went out that they struggled. And yet AD's put them boys on his back. And they're on a 10-game winning streak. I think they tied their franchise record, if I'm not mistaken. So, I mean, that's impressive. Like, you know, Houston, like I said, that's great and impressive as well. But, you know, just under the circumstances that they're doing it, you know, with DeMarcus going out, you know, trading Cunningham, they trade a few guys. I think Jameer, you know, bringing a few new guys in and then on a winning streak like that is impressive.
It made a lot of news nationally. Like, why is Draymond talking? Because the Pels were not really doing that much.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they'd done the 10-game winning streak, but they were like, it's nice.
I'll tell you this. When you get the respect from your peers and the other players around the league, that's when you're doing something. When people are taking that kind of notice, that's the respect. Forget all these other media people. Most of them who...
All 22 from ESPN picked Portland to win the entire series.
And I'm not even just talking about
Six
those 22.
From CBSSports.com. Here's the thing, though, Dino. A lot of people are going to pick the Warriors.
Oh,
and that's
absolutely
fine. But that's different. And that's... Look, I understand I didn't get that.
And AD has embraced it and is smiling about the fact that they're picking the Warriors. And he is so ready and amped up for this. People think that they've seen AD ball out in this first series.
Mm-hmm.
Wait till the second series. He is like a giddy little schoolgirl right now who cannot wait to get back on the floor. But people have also hit me up asking me, so what are the Pels doing right now in this down period? watching a lot of video mm-hmm. and listening to Doe.
I like the fact that they got 2 days off in terms mm-hmm. of practice and stuff. Rest.
Heal your body. Exactly. That's right. What you're doing.
You earn, that's what you get mm-hmm. by sweeping. Mm-hmm. You earn a couple of extra days. And right now, because let's be honest, the energy level it took to play that kind of defense,
oh.
that's taxing and that's tolling on you. And you're going to have to do very similar, especially if Steph Curry comes back. Sean Kelly thinks maybe you don't see him in game one. You'll likely see him in game two. If the Spurs are taken care of tomorrow, it'll probably be a Saturday-Sunday start. As Sean said, no way the TV folks are going to let these two teams go
Thursday
until next
Friday.
Week.
No. Well, it's starting this weekend.
Well, I think the earliest it can start is Saturday because game
Correct.
Seven would be Thursday or something like that. So, I'm looking forward to it.
Listen to me. Steph is going to play.
Oh, he's
okay.
Playing.
Listen.
They're leaking it already now.
A week and a half ago, and I posted this on Twitter. A week and a half ago, on The Jump, they're interviewing Steve Kerr. Steve Kerr, by far, and I've said this before, played for two of the greatest coaches in the history of the game, in Phil Jackson and Greg Popovich. He knows gamesmanship. He knows how to psychologically get into guys' minds as well. As they're interviewing Steve Kerr, who's behind him shooting jump shots? Steph Curry.
Yeah.
So what does Steve Kerr say? Well, you know, I think Steph is still about 3 or 4 weeks away from being able to run up and down the court. He's running behind you shooting jump shots. then a couple of days later, right. you know, there's a chance he could actually play.
Exactly.
Then 2 days later, I think he's still a ways away.
Yeah, they know exactly what his timetable and what will happen. Lee, thanks for holding on. What you got you on with Gus and Dino, bud?
Oh, guys, great segue into my call because it's almost like y'all knew what I wanted to talk about. Well, look, Dino, I sent you a tweet over the weekend asking you about this. How much rest, how do we balance it? How much rest is too much rest? And would you rather, I know that I think if San Antonio miraculously come back and win this series, that we would have home court and play them, or do we have to go to Houston automatically? Would they reseed it if they came back and won? Let's say they came back and won. But I'm gonna ask you that, but I also wanted to know about how much rest is too much rest, and do you say go ahead on and bring on Golden State and let's get this thing started on Saturday or Sunday, or just go ahead and let hope San Antonio can make a series of it and push it back another week? And you think that's too much rest for the Pelicans? Or do you think it's better if we just go ahead and get the 6 days off and then play them on this weekend coming up? Doesn't matter who we're playing.
Well, at this stage of the game, and this is universally in any sport, when you get to the playoffs, everybody has nicks and bruises and injuries that you would love to be able to heal up. So that's exactly what the Pels are doing right now, taking care of little nicks and bruises. You remember AD had a little thumb injury here, a wrist injury there, and things of that nature. So it allows guys to get the treatment that they need. They don't necessarily have to get it 3 times a day, but they're getting it 2 times a day now. They're getting in extra time to watch video of Golden State. Not that you need extra time, but certain little tweaks that a team will do differently in the playoffs, that's what the Pels will have the chance to be able to watch. I guarantee you they're spending a lot of time with Rajon, because you got to remember, nobody on this team has been this far other than Ian Clark and Rajon. They're also getting a lot of intel from Ian Clark, because let's not forget, he was with Golden State last season when they won another championship. So from a rest standpoint, it's not really so much that them getting too much rest, because if anything, they're still in a good rhythm at practice.
Right.
Their body language is still feeling good. They're healing up, and they're utilizing this time to their advantage, to the point that they're going to come out like gangbusters. As far as San Antonio making a run at Golden State, quite frankly, Lee, yesterday was more of an emotional, we can't.
A pride.
Yeah, it was a pride thing in that organization as a whole. You're doing it for Coach Pop. We also know that he's not going to coach Game 5 as well, dealing with the loss of his phenomenal wife. And I say that because in order to be married to a great man like Greg Popovich, you had to be an amazing woman. So we see. And mind you, I'm not saying it in a bad way. I'm saying it because I love Coach Popovich. He is by far one of the nicest guys. I kid you not. He's just a basketball mind, and he gets agitated with some of the mundane out of sorts questions. A lot of times reporter was asking, you know, would ask him questions that they've already answered while they're asking him the question. So he's looking at you dumbfounded like you've already answered the question. So there's nothing. Yeah. So I say that to say with Golden State, and of course, Gus and I, we're going to get into the breakdown in the matchups here shortly, but this is the best scenario for the Pels going into uncharted waters, because you have an Ian Clark, you have a Rajon Rondo who are leading the way of guys who have been this far in the playoffs before. So.
Okay. And the last thing I have is I wanted to ask about going forward with the guys coming up. I guess the games, everything would probably kick off this week. So you're saying to me that they're going to be ready no matter who it is, but especially Golden State, because I think, from what I'm gathering from you and what I've been hearing and seeing tweets and stuff from different people, is that we want Golden State. I think that they're ready for them. They, like you said, AD is like a giddy schoolgirl right now, and I just feel like right now the game plan that we use against Portland, I think we probably going to have to switch it up a little bit, because I think Golden State's a different team. But would you think that same game plan would work against Golden State, or you think they're going to switch it up a little bit?
Thank you, Lee. Appreciate the phone call. But I think the thing, Dino, that I would go to that is pace. Pace is going to be completely different. Portland and Golden State, not anywhere near the same. Golden State and the Pels, pretty much identical.
They're very similar in the pace of the game. When you look at game planning for Golden State, get ready, because this is where Solomon Hill is going to come up huge defensively on Kevin Durant. This is where Drew will be able to match up with Klay. This is where Rajon will be able to match up with Steph and knowing tendencies. This is the other reason why we brought Solomon Hill here. If you remember last year, was for his defensive prowess. Think of the agitator that he had been, even though he's been coming off the bench for the Pels, getting up to this point. He is that aggravating defender, so to speak, if you will. And I will tell you this much here, from an organizational standpoint, from a player competitive standpoint, you know the reason why you want Golden State is because Golden State is considered to be the best team in basketball. Despite the record, they're considered to be the best team in basketball, and you want to beat the best. You want to compete against the best if you're a real competitor.
They went 12-0 in the Western Conference.
It's nice. It's nice to be able to walk into the NBA playoffs. But then what will happen is, let's say, for instance, San Antonio does do something miraculously. If the Pels beat San Antonio, they beat San Antonio. San Antonio is old. There'll be all sorts of excuses as to why. You beat the Golden State Warriors. You compete with the Golden State Warriors at a high level. And I think fans in this city, even if we lost to Golden State in six or seven games, the fact that we compete against them.
No, because, well, it gives you hope. It makes you think that, hey, maybe you're not as far away from an NBA championship that you can be, as opposed to being swept away and only making it as an eighth seed.
Correct.
So stick around for a bit, because when we come back right after Glenn Gilbo, got to talk to him quickly about the LSU spring game. When we come back, we'll take a look at the other series. Wins yesterday. Bucks over Boston. That series tied at 2-2. We'll go into depth in that. And I am surprised, though. The Wizards have a pulse against Toronto. 106-98 there. That series tied up at 2 apiece. Cavs and Pacers tied up at 2 apiece.
Can we please talk Cavs and Pacers?
Yeah, no, we're going to get into that. And then Rockets T-Wolves tonight. Thunder Jazz tonight. Both games on TNT. I'm surprised by the Jazz taking a 2-1 lead, but I'm still waiting for Westbrook to take over that series. We'll get into that. Let's talk to Glenn out of this break, because the headline's beautiful. Hope springs eternal in other places, but doesn't seem that way at LSU.
They got serious issues there, huh?
Apparently. Let's talk to Glenn Gilbo when we come back. You're listening to the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans. Your love's extra ordinary. The white team beat the purple team 28-27. So many storylines to talk about the LSU spring game. Glenn Gilbo at a news services. USA Today covers the Tigers. At LSU beat tweet is the way to follow him over on Twitter. Glenn, it was an eye-catching, name to your column for sure, especially when you say hope springs eternal in other places. But does it seem that way at LSU? And you think 8-4 would be good with what you saw. What happened Saturday? Because it's not just you. A lot of people kind of with some question marks coming out of that spring game.
Oh, well, I think the lowered expectations of 8-4 and 7-5, I mean, I think that's been around well before the spring game, probably since signing day and the bowl for a lot of people, though I don't think the bowl had anything to do with it. But just looking at their roster on paper, you know, they don't look better than average or slightly above average. Mm-hmm. And as far as the spring football, you know, that no quarterback has emerged. You know, none of the quarterbacks have really done a lot of great things. You know, only one of them has played. So I think all that adds up to, you know, people not being as excited or making loftier predictions as they usually do around LSU. I think it's just being realistic, and usually don't see a fan base anywhere being realistic, you know. But I think that's what happens when you've had a couple of four-loss seasons back-to-back like they've had.
We take a look at Glenn at the schedule as well. It starts out with Miami. Then you host Southeastern at Auburn, host La Tech, host Ole Miss at Florida, and then you got Georgia, Mississippi State, Alabama. All three are at home at Arkansas, host Rice at A&M. It's not an easy schedule, obviously. I get it. It's the SEC and all that stuff. And you get the two tougher ones, arguably, at home. But I'll say this. When you watch that national championship game and you just the level of athletes and athleticism, it spoke volumes to me. And I think that's what was scary, I think, if you're an LSU fan, because they're not on the same level with what you saw at LSU.
No, they sure aren't. I had that thought, too, during that championship game, for sure. And you know, the schedule is tougher than usual, and I think that's why the ESPN Metrics Football Power Index had LSU at 6-6. Because of that schedule, because they usually don't play a non-conference team like Miami every year. Miami's supposed to be real good, and then Georgia jumps into the SEC schedule this year, and they'll probably be as good or better than they were last year. But yeah, and also, you know, other than a few players on defense like Devin White, you know, when you get past this draft, it doesn't look like LSU's going to have the same type of impact on the NFL draft in 19 as they have had.
Glenn, how much of that can be put on Ogeron? Could it be towards the end of the Miles era where things kind of started going down? You get what I'm getting at? Like a new president or new administration comes in politics and they're held immediately accountable to it, but you can always maybe look at steps before that to see whether it was good or bad. You know, vice versa. Coach comes into a good situation, maybe when Les first started, and you can kind of see the effects of what Saban put in place. How much of that you think fairly is going to be criticized on Ogeron? Because obviously, they go 6-6 or 7-8 wins. It's going to be on him.
Well, it's on Ogeron more than usual because Ogeron was there at the end of the Les Miles era. He got there in January of 15 and was heavily involved with recruiting, and then became recruiting coordinator in 16 before becoming the interim head coach. And so more so than most new coaches, you know, I think Ogeron has to shoulder some of that blame because he was there and involved in recruiting. And, you know, recruiting has slipped, particularly after Les left, recruiting has slipped. And when you look at it, the quarterbacks on the roster, every one of them was recruited by Les. He signed Justin McMillan, and he had already identified and started recruiting Miles Brennan and Lowell Narcisse. So,
right.
So LSU does not – Ed Orgeron has never signed or recruited, you know, from the beginning to the end and finished it, a quarterback at LSU. And then this past year he did something that Les never did, was missed on the cornerback position, which has grown in Louisiana, and tailback, which they've had, you know, a string of top recruits at tailback. So the best part of Coach O's resume was his recruiting, and that has flipped. Now, he's supposed to have a great year this year because it's a great year in the state. So, you know, he needs to take advantage of this recruiting season for sure, and it looks like he is off to a great start.
Speaking with Glenn Gilbo at LSU Beat Tweets, the way to follow him over on Twitter. What were some of the positives that stood out there on Saturday?
I don't do positives, Gus. You know that. No, I'm just kidding.
right.
No, actually, you know, some players that some people may not have heard of much or seen play much, I thought did very well. You know, Justin McMillan played really well. A two-star recruit out of Texas in 2015. And Justin Jefferson from Destrehan, who didn't catch a pass last year, he looked very good, you know, in that 94-yard touchdown, about 85 of which was him running. He made a one-handed catch on it. He made four other catches. Steven Sullivan looked good at wide receiver, so did Drake Davis. Ty Provens, a early enrollee freshman tailback from early Alabama. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, he looked very explosive at tailback. He's a sophomore who didn't play much last year. Caleb Vaughn Chasson, who is, you know, replaced Arden Key when he was out last year and is going to replace him full time this year. He was in the backfield all day. He probably had that five sacks and they were counting it like a real game. You know, so there's still quite a bit of talent in the program for sure.
All right, finally, Glenn, before we let you go, the LSU baseball team swept by South Carolina, and the scores were maybe telling, huh? 11-0 on Friday, 11-4, and then you blow a 6-run lead on Sunday. You know how it works up in with baseball. Concern 1 week, concern not week. But look, getting swept probably wasn't the best thing for fans' confidence right now.
No, and I just left Coach Maneri's office. He had some reporters in there, and it was just a killer because, you know, you go on the road in the SEC, you lose 2 out of 3. That's not bad. That's almost like kind of going .500. And the killer was that loss yesterday when they're up 6-0 and they got a quality start from Sunday starter Matthew Beck. No, not Matthew Beck. Who am I thinking? Who was the starter Sunday? Was it Beck? I forget. Mm-hmm. But they gave up 11 runs on Friday and Saturday, but actually Zach Kemp could well Friday, and those just count one. So if they could have held on to that 6-0 lead Sunday, they'd be in first in the West, and then they blew the lead late against Tulane too. So the relief pitching, after pitching really well 90% of the season, has really fallen apart. So it doesn't look good. They're back to .500 in the SEC, but they still have a chance. It's a very even dispersed SEC, and once they get past Ole Miss, hopefully they'll win one game there, and then they can get back on track.
It was Nick Bush that pitched 5 innings at 7 Ks, no runs, and those 3 hits before he came out. I'm with you. It'll be interesting to see what they can do because, you know, again, a week ago, you know, they get that sweep and you're kind of feeling good. So it's by the weekend. I just, you know, again, national seeds, I would probably be safe to say it's going to be hard to be attainable, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, they're not ranked this weekend for the first time since 2011.
Exactly.
So they're not going to get the home super regional. There's 16 regionals in the first round of the region, so they could still get that. But there's no way they'll be a top 8 seed now, and there's a chance that they may have to travel for the opening regional round too. But they've gotten their share of home sites, so they're gonna. Yeah, those things even out. They're going to have to travel on that this year.
Finally, before we let you go, obviously you do some Saints coverage as well and follow the black and gold. Draft is Thursday. I've been saying for a while, Glenn, I think Thursday is going to be exciting for Saints fans. I don't know where they can go. I mean, they have a lot of possibilities and options based off of what they've done in the offseason with free agents and such. They can move up. They've never moved back. Some fans want them to do that. If they can get a couple of second round picks, I don't see them staying at 27. But what's your earlier gut reaction to what you might see on Thursday with them?
Well, I think since they don't have like an overwhelming need at a position like they have in the past, you know, every team says they need an edge rusher. I mean, that's kind of a given. But I think they'll stick there. And I think what will be interesting is if Arden Key is still around in the third round. I think he would be worth a gamble pick in the third round for the Saints to try him. But what a great weekend. The Saints draft Thursday night, Jaspers Friday, Jaspers Saturday, and the Pelicans on Saturday, depending on what time they tip off. But that would, or would that be the, would that be a week? No, that'll be a week from Saturday, correct?
Right.
Right, that's right. Okay, so no NBA this week, but man, the Pelicans and the Saints learning how to draft better. it's making for a great spring in New Orleans.
Yeah, no doubt. Glenn, appreciate your time this afternoon for joining us a little bit, man.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. At LSU Beat Tweets, the way to follow Glenn Gilbo. Gannett News Services, USA Today, The Works. Just give him a follow at LSU Beat Tweet. Dino, we'll go back to you when we come back. Got a quick takes on some of the other playoff games going on. As we said, the Eastern Conference really tightening up. West kind of coming into picture for sure. And coming up at a 2 o'clock hour, Marlon Favorite at 2:15. We'll give his take from the spring game as well and get going. He'll be part of our draft coverage, Mr. 4K himself, Dino. Maybe we'll get you to do some Oregon, some Pac-12 coverage.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and get some Pac-12 because everybody coverage. In the SEC down here is really concerned about the Pac-12.
No one's concerned.
Nobody's ever concerned about the Pac-12, especially after the showing that we had this past bowl season.
Well, I mean, you're going to have, possibly two Pac-12 quarterbacks going to top five now.
That's about it.
Okay.
We've got no showing.
Make the Ducks relevant again.
The only way the Ducks can be relevant is by making themselves relevant. I love my school, but that's what I tell anybody. You only become the man again when you perform like the man.
There you go. All right, Sports Hangover continues next. Let's take a look at the rest of the NBA playoffs when we come back on ESPN New Orleans. Put the request in, Dino. We'll try to get Coach Gentry on, maybe a couple players this week as well. Depends when they leave, obviously, and practice time is when we're on the air, so we'll do the best we can. But I tell you, I'm happy for Alvin Gentry. Aren't you?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, come on. Let me say.
Wait, hold on.
No,
you remember, I was the one who was saying he was going to be back anyway.
No, I know. What I'm saying, I say that because, look, it wasn't pretty a lot of times, and believe me, I mean, if anybody would have thought that, you know, people around the league would start saying, hey, this guy might be a candidate for Coach of the Year. I mean, just think about that. Think about
that. Well, I wouldn't go that far.
Well, no, it's being talked about.
No.
Yeah, they picked three
I agree.
For the awards. I mean,
I agree. That's not going to happen, though.
I get that. I'm not saying he is, because I don't think he is.
Yeah.
But the fact that he's...
His name is being mentioned.
Yeah, I mean, that's remarkable.
It's another notch on the Pels belt, so to speak, if you will, in the sense that, yeah, it definitely is a feel-good thing. And
did you hear what he said about
around.
The fans? It was great.
I tell you, I felt that anyway. I mean, I know that, you know, obviously when you win, it's much more. But even when we were struggling and we you would be out on the town, everybody was still very supportive, you know. I mean, of the players, obviously they booed the hell out of the coach, but... Mm-hmm.
And he's right. It's the truth of the matter.
That's how it works.
You know, I mean,
hey, now when your head coach for the New Orleans Pelicans, Alvin Gentry.
But.
Well, it's before head coach of the New Orleans. Boo.
But that's par for the course. That's part of the territory when you know, when you go into the coaching business. You know, and matter of fact, there was something else that he said in the sense of if you haven't been fired as a coach in the NBA, you haven't had a chance to coach in the NBA yet because everybody gets fired. And it may be transitioned to a lot of things that I know friends who are in the radio business and the television business are dealing with as well. At some point in time in your life, you're going to get fired. Whether you know what the reason is, whether you don't know what the reason is, it could be personal agendas that someone else has. It's the nature of the beast when you get into this business, man.
All right, let's do it. Dino, got to talk about the rest of the NBA scores that are going on, really. Tonight, Rockets and T-Wolves, Thunder and Jazz. We'll close out with that quickly, though. To what we saw yesterday, you wanted to start with the Pacers and the Cavs, 104-100. That series is tied at 2-2.
Here's the reason why I wanted to start off with that. Plain and simple, 26 free throw attempts for Cleveland, 13 free throw attempts.
And the game was where?
In Indianapolis.
Imagine that.
And, by the way, Indiana also had only 9 turnovers. They also won the rebounding battle. So you explain to me how you only go to the free throw line 13 times.
So they didn't turn the ball over.
No.
They weren't committing any fouls because, well, maybe.
Even late, and this goes to show you.
I got it. Ooh.
Cat and Gill.
LeBron.
Oh, yes. He's on the opposing team.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, he can't get swept.
There's no way in the world we can let Indiana go up
3-1. They're not.
No.
No. Although it would have been better for ratings.
Oh.
And then you just make absolute sure that Cleveland wins the other
game. Oh, absolutely they're going to win the other
Raptors
game.
Raptors and Wizards, are you surprised this series is 2-2? I thought Toronto, I mean, they were just yucking it up. DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry, the presser after game two. I mean, they were just Marlon Hardy.
They were back to being Turner and Hooch all over again.
I mean, they were just happy.
Yeah, they were.
Yucking it up.
Absolutely.
It's 2-2.
Yeah, it's 2-2 now. Yeah. Washington definitely has a pulse, and they played extremely well back at home. So, I see this series going 7 games.
We touched on the Spurs and Warriors already. That was a franchise we got pride when. They'll be dispatched tomorrow. Celtics, yeah. Bucks, 104-102 Milwaukee. The story to me wasn't the fact that the series now tied 2-2. The story is Giannis. He wanted some Mexican yesterday. After the win, he sat there for 10 minutes. No one waited on him, so he left. Somebody tweeted him sitting there and no one coming up to him. The restaurant since apologized. They're now going to give free tacos to people in Milwaukee if they win. So he went and ate pizza down the street. They posted a picture of the Greek food. Can you imagine AD after the game on Saturday? Any restaurant in the city. Now, Grant, look, there was a wait. But, so I'm asking you, would you have given up your table so AD could get something to eat?
For what? You haven't done anything yet? Absolutely. I'm like, big fella.
Yeah.
Forget giving up my table. Come on and sit over with the rest of us, man.
I would do that. I'd be like, I got it. Carver,
big fella.
Move up. Scoot over, Carver.
Sit on Uncle AD's lap over here. All right, Carver?
Hey, I tell you what, though. 104-102, that's a series. Obviously, best of three now with them.
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely a better series than what people thought it was going to be. They
Rockets,
played well.
T-Wolves, heck of an effort in game three.
Mm-hmm.
James Harden was what, like, he didn't do very well.
He did not have a good game.
Yeah.
But, again, you have to give a lot of credit to Tibbs and the energy that he brought. And he changed up some things
when
he went home.
Pels fans are praying they steal it here. Because I still think the T-Wolves are a bad matchup for New Orleans. So,
they definitely
make Houston
are.
Work, but I would rather Houston. Does that make sense? Or would you rather Minnesota? They just don't look good against Minnesota.
And Minnesota has our number as well. That's the thing about it.
They swept the Pels this year, by the way.
It would be a very good matchup.
Thunder and Jazz. You're close to Russ. Where's Russell Westbrook?
He's about to snap. I'm serious. He's about to snap. He's had enough of it. You know, and that's the thing about Russ, is that he's tried to get everybody and keep everybody engaged, but in that same respect, he's going to take over now. He has to in order for this team to win. And Utah playing as well as they are, it's not really a surprise. I mean, again, what Utah Jazz
have done.
That crowd.
I was reading people covering this game saying they left with a headache.
Oh,
game three.
The Jazz fans are extremely loud, and they're going to be even more loud. They're going to be louder for game four.
We're obviously going to talk later during this week here. We'll keep going. Maybe about Wednesday we'll bring you back, kind of start seeing where these series are and everything. Dino, always a pleasure.
Always
good, my
brother.
You spent an hour with us, man. Appreciate that.
It was good to be back on for more than 5 minutes.
You just missed me. Hour three up next on ESPN New Orleans.